Okay, let's move to 1196. Yes, we're still able to do
that. Do you want to read both items together?
Yes, please.
Okay. 1196, amend regulations in the Public Improvements and Building Regulations Code that were adopted through the Citywide Tree Policy and Regulatory Improvement Project to conform to subsequent changes to City Code. And 1197, create a fee schedule for tree review, tree inspections, tree permits, and tree-related enforcement.
Mr. Fritz.
Thank you, Mayor Hale. So this continues the theme that Portland Parks and Recreation is literally everywhere in our city. Because this tree code is going to, that will be implemented on January 2nd, which the council funded this past budget, will apply to both public and private properties all over the city. The purpose of the hearing is to seek council approval of two ordinances. 1196 is to adopt conforming amendments to Title 17 and 24, and item 1197 is to adopt the fee schedule for urban forestry tree review, inspections, permits, and enforcement under Title 11. Those two city titles, 17 and 24, have changed since the tree code adoption, and they are purely housekeeping amendments. I challenge any of my colleagues to find one that does not meet that definition. And it formalizes the existing urban forestry fees that are currently in place. It then proposes new fees which are necessary to support the permit requirements under Title 11. And I'm going to turn it over to my wonderful staff to review these ordinances. But ask that you hold your questions till the end of the presentation, and then, of course, we'll have plenty of time for discussion. Turning it over to Director Mike Abate.
Thank you, Commissioner Fritz, and members of council. Mike Abate, Director of Portland Parks and Recreation, which includes urban forestry. And I'm joined today by two bureaus. Jen Cairo, our urban forester in our bureau, but Mika Keenan as well, the program coordinator for tree code implementation, jointly funded by Parks and BDS. Also here is Mike Hayakawa, the section manager for planning and zoning. The BDS and Parks have been working in lockstep together to bring to you today a couple of items. Two ordinances for your consideration, one for conforming amendments that the commissioner mentioned, and one for urban forestry fee schedule. First, I'm going to review the ordinance regarding conforming amendments to Title 17 and 24, and then I'll talk about the fee schedule. We'll go through that. That's the primary focus of the hearing today. When the tree code was adopted in 2011, it included amendments to other city codes, including Title 17 and Title 24. These amendments created consistency with a new tree code. In the over 3 years since, the tree code adoption, Titles 17 and 24, have been updated through other city projects, leaving some of the tree project amendments out of date. So to rectify these discrepancies, some minor changes to the tree project proposed code language is necessary. These amendments, as the commissioner mentioned, are administrative, housekeeping in nature, will just bring the tree amendments up to date with current city codes. It will eliminate confusion and prepare us for the rollout of the new tree code in January of 2015 coming up. So here's a few of the proposed amendments that affect Title 17 public improvements. It adds the word trees to the regulations pertaining to moving buildings on public streets, so that when any street trees are removed to accommodate the moving of a building, they must be replaced. It also leaves the regulations pertaining to placing tree planters in the right-of-way. The tree project has moved these requirements to another chapter of Title 17, which has since been repealed, so we need to bring that section back in. And additionally, tree projects proposed changes to Chapter 24.95 of Title 24 building regulations are no longer necessary, as the special design standards for five-story apartment buildings were repealed through a separate code project. Again, these amendments are administrative and proposed to create consistency. So now let's talk about the fee schedule. In Title 11, the trees, was adopted by Council in 2011 and will go into effect January 2nd, 2015. It includes new permit types and review requirements that improve and streamline tree regulations between Bureau of Development Services and Urban Forestry. Council approved funds in the 2014-2015, our current budget year, for implementation of these new regulations and associated customer service improvements, including a tree-only website, new customer service staff, a co-location of urban forestry staff at the city's permit center, a tree preservation inspections for development permits, and programmatic permits. As I mentioned, BDS and Urban Forestry staff are working diligently on setting up the processes and procedures for successful implementation of the tree code, and that includes training opportunities for both city staff and our partners in the community about the new code. The proposed fee schedule is one of the elements necessary for successful implementation. Fees will now be collected in the city's permit center, which is consistent with other bureaus' permitting processes. And the fee schedule will be available on the new tree website, creating predictability and transparency. And that's also consistent with other permitting bureau practices. So I'd now like to turn your attention to the fee schedule Exhibit A and the handouts in front of you. This is Agenda Item 1196. This ordinance adopts a fee schedule to formalize the implementation of existing fees and proposes new fees associated with Title 11. It's been reviewed by the Bureau of Development Services Development Review Advisory Committee, also known as DRAC, and it's been reviewed by the Urban Forestry Commission. The fee schedule is organized into four parts. Part one is development review fees, which are charged for tree reviews associated with development permits. The second is tree permit fees, which are charged applications when no development is being proposed. Programmatic permits is the third, which apply to utilities and public agencies that have routine and large-scale needs for tree maintenance, tree pruning, and removal. And the fourth is enforcement fees and penalties, which are assessed when violations of the regulations occur. Many of these fees are already in effect, while others are new and necessary for tree code administration. And you'll see in the spreadsheet, the lighter shading indicates existing fees where there's no change, and the darker new fees or changes in existing fees. Page one of your handout is also what is on the screen in front of you. It includes development review permits. There we go. That support Chapter 11.50 of the Tree Code, which covers street trees, city and private property trees. All of the street tree fees are existing. Again, we're not proposing to increase those in any way. For city and private property trees, there are three new inspection fees for $97, indicated with an asterisk. These will go into effect July 2015. And the reason for that is in this year's budget, council approved adequate funding to allow for a gradual roll-in of application fees. These are fees that are being collected to help fund the implementation of the tree code. Since you've already provided that funding, there's no need for the fees until July. And there are two new fees for fees in lieu of preservation and planting. These were set at the time of the tree code adoption. Page two, non-development permit fees that implement Chapter 11.40 of the tree code are next. The first four fees are existing costs for non-development permits. One of the things to note is that staff is proposing to decrease the fee for existing tree removal from $35 to $25. And there is a new code requirement for street tree appeals, so that is a new fee in the schedule. There's also a new code review standard for attaching permanent objects to a tree, so that's also a new fee. The city and private property fees are existing urban forestry fees. Page three, programmatic permits, is next. So programmatic permits are for utilities and public agencies that have routine and large-scale needs for routine tree maintenance, pruning, removal on an ongoing basis. So rather than if PGE is clearing some power lines, rather than getting individual permits for every action, this is an overseen as a programmatic permit that can be issued for multiple years. As you know, PGE, just to mention them, you know, prunes hundreds of trees throughout the city. So this will streamline that process to one programmatic permit. Although there are several upfront permit review requirements, it will ultimately result in efficiencies for both staff and for our customers, as well as improve the city's oversight of street tree work. In addition to public utilities, just some other organizations you might think of that would be eligible or interested in a programmatic permit, the Port of Portland, TriMet, And Portland Parks and Recreation properties that are managed by partner organizations as gardens, such as the Leech Botanical Garden, the Japanese Garden, Lansloo Chinese Garden, and Hoyt Arboretum are just some that come to mind. They're managing that landscape as a garden for particular purposes. So a programmatic permit would be available if they wanted to proceed with that. And other city agencies which conduct large-scale and routine tree activities, such as our own City Nature in Portland Parks and Recreation, the BES, Bureau of Environmental Services Tree Program, which plants trees in the right-of-way. And then last, the enforcement fees. The enforcement fees are a new set of enforcement tools available to urban forestry. However, urban forestry will emphasize education and outreach, particularly during the first 6 months of the implementation. We'll seek corrective action for violations rather than punitive measures. However, this fee schedule does allow urban forestry to penalize egregious and/or willful tree violations. So in summary, the two ordinances proposed today will create consistency for tree regulations across the city through conforming amendments to Title 17 and 24, and formalize existing fees and establish new fees that are consistent with the new tree code that goes into effect January 2nd. This concludes our presentation. We can are available for any questions if you have them.
Okay, questions for staff.
So, actually, go ahead.
Well, I've noticed in my neighborhood a lot of trees coming down, and it could be because those lots are going to be developed, but it also could be because these new rules are taking effect soon. So I'm just curious if you could, or Mika or Jen, walk us through what a property owner, what it will look like for a property owner after January 2nd, if he or she wishes to remove a tree for development purposes or whatever.
That's different from today, Commissioner?
Yeah, that's different from today, yeah.
So there are current, just to reiterate, there are current permit requirements for some trees on private properties. So those that are affected by the current regulations, those won't change. The code really seeks to create equality. So what it's doing is expanding those requirements onto more private properties. And that requirement is if there is a tree in your backyard in a base zone, which means no environmental protection overlay zone, trees 12 inches in diameter or greater will need a permit to be removed. For most situations, it's going to be a simple over-the-counter permit, and people can get that permit in the Development Services Center starting on January 2nd. For trees that are dead, dying, or dangerous, if they're a nuisance species tree, or if the tree is within 10 feet of your house or a garage, that's an over-the-counter permit. And the replacement for that tree is one-to-one. So you'd have to plant a 1.5-inch tree on your property.
I'm sorry.
In most situations.
You lost me on the last part. So if you...
It's a tree-for-tree mitigation requirement. So if you remove a 12-inch tree, for example, you'll be required to replant.
But with one tree. So currently, it's inch-per-inch mitigation under the current regulations. It's changed under the new regulations where it's a tree-for-tree replacement in most situations rather than the inch-per-inch mitigation requirement.
And then what is the permit fee for the removal of that 12-inch or greater?
$25. The existing fee is $35, and we've actually lowered that to $25 because we're seeking compliance with the regulations. So we wanted to keep that fee low.
Thank you.
Yep.
Commissioner Novick.
Commissioner Fritz, I have a question to which I know you have an answer, which is when I was looking at the fee schedule, I noticed that the current fee in lieu of planting on private property in the non-development context is up to $300 per inch, whereas the fee in lieu for developers is $1,200 per tree, which raises the prospect, although I'm sure it wouldn't happen very often, that Helen homeowner might want to remove a 22-inch oak on her property and wind up having to pay a $6,600 fee in lieu, whereas dastardly developer might remove a 30-inch oak and pay a fee in lieu of only $1,200. So I understand you have a proposal to correct this potential injustice, and please tell us what it is.
Thank you, Commissioner, and I commend you for noticing this personally, and The code already says that the city forester has the authority to set the fees, and our practice with urban forester Jen Cairo has been to be very reasonable. We intend to address this through administrative rules because it not only applies to Helen homeowner, it also applies to dastardly developer, for instance, on commercial and industrial zones and very large sites. So we intend to set administrative rules to specify what the maximum would be, and in the case of Helen homeowner, that it would be no greater than $1,200.
Thank you, Commissioner.
Which one were you referring to on the handout?
Under city and private property trees, there's fee in lieu of planting.
Okay.
So if you want to remove a tree and you don't want to replace it, you could pay up to $300 per inch.
Okay.
Whereas under the development schedule, the preservation fee in lieu is $1,200 per tree.
Okay. Thanks.
And I will mention that we are establishing an oversight committee for implementation of the tree project. So as things come up during implementation, we'll probably be bringing a package of amendments back to council and or creating administrative rules as we go along to make sure that we catch instances like that, that despite the diligence of the three of us who were here for the tree code hearings, which I seem to remember went on for months and months and had multiple iterations, including like 50 different amendment requests. We tried to get it right, but we expect that there will be some adjustments needed, and we're ready and willing to do that.
Mike, I have a couple questions. Sure. Let me just use a hypothetical. Let's say there's a homeowner named Nick from Northeast Portland who has a tree that's a street tree, so it's in the median strip, that's probably been damaged by the two times he has replaced the sewer pipe that connects to his house. Hasn't grown in 15 years and probably is diseased and maybe dying. It's about the size of a small Christmas tree. If Nick, the homeowner, wants to replace that under this new system, that would be an online tree removal application of $25 and a requirement to replace the tree?
That's correct, Commissioner.
Yeah. So that's.
I'm going to defer to Urban Forestry as well, because they're the ones that actually issue the permits and would send out an inspector to take a look at that situation. So.
And that's a great comment, Mike. We do need to look at the situation. So although you can get the application online, it is not an online application. We have an online application process for pruning.
Right.
Of certain size limbs. But in that case, you would be applying for a removal permit. The fee would be $25 for that application. You'd submit that. Our tree inspector would look at your situation, and if your tree is dead, dying, dangerous, or diseased, that's a very straightforward, easy one where we want the tree to come out. Right. So we'd issue that permit and ask you to replace it with a new tree.
Okay. And the second question I have for you has to do with the occasional instances in our community where people are doing pruning of street trees without an application. And I think we had an example a couple months ago in the River District. So. Mm-hmm. Just so that property management companies are clear about their legal obligation, could you just walk us through that? Because I'm not sure the message has gotten out to everybody.
Thank you, Commissioner Fish. I'll agree with you on that. And part of what we're doing as implementation of the new code, but also because we need to do it, is a lot of education and outreach to all sorts of audiences on what the regulations are and how to be compliant. And in that situation, the obligation is on the adjacent property owner, as per code, to maintain the street trees. So in the situation where it's a hotel or something like that in Northeast Portland, and they typically would hire a contractor to do their tree pruning, then it's the obligation of the hotel to make sure the appropriate permits are obtained by their contractor. And if they aren't, some of the fees that you saw today do include ways for us financially to address violations. So if needed, we could pursue the folks who didn't follow the regulation. Our intention, however, is that we just want corrective action. So as long as they haven't done extreme damage to a tree, we would be speaking with the property owner and the contractor about what the regulations are, how to comply with them, and if there are any ways that if they did something incorrectly, that can be mitigated.
So I think thank you. And I think one area where this is likely to come up a lot is with building management companies that have rental apartments, condominiums, co-ops, and other things. And as I learned in the example that you just mentioned, sometimes they use, for reasons that are unclear to me, out-of-state contractors, even though if you go to the Yellow Pages in Portland, there's page after page of bonded, reputable companies that do this work. But they use out-of-state. And those out-of-state companies are not always conversant on our tree code or our rules. So the obligation rests with the management company, and your preference is to educate and make sure going forward people follow the rules, but you have a stick here if someone is a chronic offender, which is to hit them with a civil penalty.
Right. Precisely.
And I would just encourage you, as you're rolling this new schedule out, to use as many trade associations as possible to get the word to these management companies. Sometimes, my guess is sometimes they're looking for the lowest cost provider, which may not be a local provider, in which case they may not be familiar with our rules. And I think they need to know that they're on the hook for whatever these companies do or don't do in their name.
It's a good point. I should also mention that, you know, tree pruning of our street trees is a really, we want very skilled people to do that work. There's a no-charge permit. And all that does is help us understand and evaluate the work that's being done to ensure that it meets professional arborist standards.
And, Mayor, the reason this hits home with me is we came across a company that was from California, did not know that we had a tree code, was trimming trees. I was actually walking on the sidewalk, and one of the limbs landed on me. So they apparently didn't know about basic safety provisions. And then they also took the entire street and closed it off for their equipment and put up cones. And I was thinking that was something Commissioner Novick on a Saturday was probably not thrilled to have all the meters knocked off. And they didn't seem to have any understanding of what the laws were. And apparently this is a case where good education will prevent these things from happening again.
Yes, that is a challenge that we face. Thank you for bringing it up. And we have on the order of 20, 25 trainings that have been going on and will continue into January and February, and we will make sure that we have the trade organizations that you mentioned on those lists. We already have commercial arborist companies in the city and the region, but we'll add those. Thank you.
Well, look, since we're celebrating Small Business Saturday today, I mean, it would be great if people would just use local arborists. I mean, again, the Yellow Pages are filled with companies that know what our laws are, so to bring in a California company, for example, with an operator who's got, you know, 10 stops a day going all the way up, you know, to Seattle, who is unaware that we have a street code or any regulation, seems unfortunate. I mean, it's their right to hire that company, but we'd like to see that these companies actually are trained in our laws.
So maybe if I could, go ahead, you want to respond to that.
Little kudos to our local companies. We rarely have any issues with them. The certified companies do great work, and we're in good communication with them. And actually, many of their staff volunteer on some of our programs, too, just because they want to do good tree stewardship. So,
what do you mean by certified?
International Society of Arboriculture is the trade organization internationally for arborists. So what we recommend, we can't require this, but what we recommend is if someone is having any tree work done, pruning, just health assessment, planting, that they try to get a certified ISA arborist involved because they do have those credentials and education and experience to make sure it's done quality.
So we can presume they would be familiar with the new code requirements?
We can't necessarily presume that. So ISA is international. They're not out there publishing our regulations. But what we have done in our trainings is to maintain an ISA arborist certification, one needs to have continuing education units. So as we've been advertising to all the commercial arborist companies that we know of in the area, we've made it possible for them to get these CEUs if they come to our training. It's kind of an incentive to bring them in. And we found that we get a pretty good response on that. Also, most of the commercial arborists in the area who are certified, they're people who like trees and want to do the right thing, so they do try to educate themselves on what the regulations are and uphold them.
So, yeah, I guess if I'm looking to hire an arborist to do some work on my yard, what question do I need to ask that they know I'm aware of something
right.
Different?
Yeah.
What's the smart question I need to ask of them?
The smart question is, are you a certified arborist?
Yeah.
And I'll also say, for years now, Urban Forestry has had a training program. We call it the Local Tree Care Providers Workshop, and it has the CEUs attached to it now. We invite the commercial companies to come in, and we keep them up to speed on what we're looking for in terms of regulations and best management practices. So on our website, we actually have a list of the companies that have gone through that training. So if somebody's looking, doesn't mean that they're necessarily certified, but it does mean they've gone through our training. So that's another resource to look at. Ask if there's ISA certified arborist who's going to do the work. And you could also just use our website as kind of the yellow pages.
Thanks. So I'd like to follow up on Commissioner Fish's first question, which is if that hypothetical Nick guy in Northeast decided that he wanted to replace that embarrassingly stunted street tree with a tree that was big enough to hug. And he wanted to work with one of the nonprofit groups that do this on a neighborhood basis, like Friends of Trees or the Fruit Tree Project. Mm-hmm. Does this regulatory change materially affect either the paperwork or the cost for those neighborhood scale plantings, mm-hmm. where a whole bunch of people are either replacing a tree that died or didn't grow or adding one where there wasn't? Does it change the cost of doing business or the paperwork burden for these very successful volunteer-based bulk purchases, right, if you will, of new trees?
Yeah, great question, Mayor. It does. Instead of the property owner themselves needing to do the application and pay the $25 with us, if they're doing that through an organization that we already work with. So Friends of Trees is a great example. They're contracted by the Bureau of Environmental Services to do those plantings, and we currently give them a version of a broad permit, which will become a programmatic permit in the future. So it's all regulatorily covered when you go online and sign up with them. We also have our own neighborhood tree teams that do those plantings in their neighborhood, and we take care of the permit aspects of that for them.
So those nonprofits weren't necessarily paying this programmatic fee before, but now they will be?
Do I have that right? No. The programmatic permit is, as per the code, is designed to apply to public entities, or what I would call parapublics, like PGE. So it's BES, the Bureau of Environmental Services, who'd be the permit applicant on that. It would not be a nonprofit with whom they work or with whom we work.
Okay, great. Thank you. Appreciate that clarification.
I just had one last question. Tell me a little bit more about the co-location of urban forestry with Bureau of Development Services. Does that mean there will be urban forestry people at BDS during counter hours and
yes.
all that?
Yes, Commissioner. Go ahead.
Thanks, Mike. Thank you, Mike. This is a great advance. There are currently staff co-located there. We started moving folks down there now. So there are some tree inspectors there, and also our tree techs. Part of the budget that you approved for the new code included two positions to be the single points of contact for all things tree in the city. One of those folks is on board with us already, and the other one's coming on later this week. They will be housed at Bureau of Development Services, as are all other customer services related to permits. So people, in order to get a permit, will no longer need to come out to East Delta Park to deal with us at all. Okay. We'll be down here.
Just to add to that, they are going to keep the same hours as the DSC is open, so it's going to be consistent with all other permit review types.
Great. Excellent.
Other questions?
I have one final question as well. Has the Lorax at least been given an opportunity to comment on these provisions?
I'm the Lorax. I speak for the trees.
Okay. Costume is optional. Great. Any other questions? Thanks.
Since we have the urban forester here, we've had a couple of nasty storms recently with high winds, and I've seen a lot of tree damage in my neighborhood. Just a quick assessment of what you saw?
Yeah, we're off to an exciting winter storm season, at least in forestry terms. We had two storms back-to-back, and our staff, kudos to them, because many of them work long hours. We did 89 emergency call-outs over a period of 3 days for the first storm and 65 in the second storm, which was the one that went over the holiday. And for those of you who might not be familiar with it, any tree emergencies that are blocking a public right-of-way, it's our staff that responds to that, and that's primarily our tree inspectors under the supervision of Casey Jogerst and our arborist crews who have the big equipment, including the big crane and bucket trucks, under the supervision of Larry McGinnis, our operations supervisor. So we handled that. It was a lot of work. We're hoping that the weather calms down a little bit.
Congratulations. Right.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And I just, on that note, mention that you will notice that this is not an emergency ordinance. It's on the schedule today so that it can go into effect before January 2nd. And it did take a lot of extra effort by Jen and her crew, as well as Mika and the team, to get it to you today and in the midst of that storm. So I really appreciate all your extra work.
Mr. Fritz, can I just ask you a question about what Jen just said in 311? Is it the intent at some point that the 311 system would field the down tree calls?
That's an excellent, yes.
I would hope so.
Yes.
Just curious.
And I believe that as 311 is rolling out, Parks has many connections to the community, and so each one of those connections, whether it's our customer service center for reserving or TreeCo, they're all going to be looked at individually as 311 rolls out to find out how to integrate.
But potentially that could be an example where one number, because you're driving down, you know, some street and there's a tree, call 311 to get to Jen's team, potentially.
Yeah, I think that, I mean, that's a classic example of something where you know there must be somebody in the city to call, but you might not know the specific number, and if there was an all-purpose number, you would call it.
Yep.
Until 311's in place, that would be the TREES number.
What's that number?
TREE. Sorry, 823-TREE.
That's right, starting January 2nd, or is it?
Right.
823-TREE is going to be our all-purpose TREE questions number.
Thanks very much.
Thank you.
Is there anyone signed up to speak on this item?
Yes, we have two people, Ben Pickering and Joe Walsh.
Okay. Forestry, I love forestry. I grew up, my dad was a logger. But I had some things asked about some of these things. But tree service, do you have people that go out, because with the dry summer we had and then the dry winter we're going to be having, and then we have some storms coming up, that's also, well, we've got leaner trees and people that go out and expect the soil. So when the soil, what happens when it gets dry, the ground, you want to check the trees. If they're up of elevated above the ground and the soil gets wet, it'll make a tree fall over. But also, there's a lot of leaners, whether it's over power lines, and think the crews that go out there and cut them off the power lines and rebuild the power lines. But you got leaners, and then you got to get the equipment out, which you go up the tree and detrim it, and then call in the chipper in, and then, like, say you got somebody you want to get rid of the stump, but so you call a stump grinder, you go out there after topping the tree and falling it and getting leaners. But people, you got people that go out and actually look at different certain trees. Like, I mean, there's all over the city. I mean, some trees, like you had one over at the City Hall. I was at the vigil last year, and one had fallen, and it almost hit me. But I was like, timber, and everybody's looking at me like, what's that mean? And the tree had fell over. But, like, a lot of areas, if I've known it, noticed, like, whether they put a sidewalk in and there's a big tree there and they do the sidewalk around it, well, it's sucking the life out of those trees. So some of them are just going to topsize. Or the way people do architects or do put the yards in or different areas or work they do in landscaping, they sometimes don't got a perspective of how trees grow, whether the roots are just, you know, are just in time, they're going to get weaker, and then you got a tree that's just, it's just going to be cause more of a mess. Will it take down a power line or someone's neighbor's yard or clip someone's house? Or it's, it, you know, so, I mean, is there, you guys got people that go around and check certain stuff like that? I mean, oh, you do. Oh, yeah, who would you call for, like, you know, people that check the soils, leaners, protection? I mean, if one of those trees, I've been out in the weather when one, I mean, disasters happen. But, like, if a tree hits a car, it's going to smash it like a pancake. But, like, I mean, there's a lot of stuff about trees that some people might know everything or know how to plant trees and regrow them and keep life and keep our oxygen. And it's awesome on, you know, taking trees to a lumberyard or to a mill and chopping it up, and people can build houses with the wood and all kinds of stuff. But, you know, there's, yeah, I just wondering if people you go to that know expect, you know, because they can, if you had people that go around that can call these trees before they fall or before the leaners and cause less of a disaster before it happens, that would be cool.
So whenever you don't know who to call, just call 823-4000. Those folks will find you the right person.
Right on.
Just 823-4000.
Cool. And what is that, Allen Lead Tree Service or R&R? Or what is,
that's our information and
everything.
Referral service.
Oh, the tree service they said?
Mm-hmm.
They'll get you to the right people.
Oh, wow. And so she said something about 90-something people had called. Like, could you take a big break from that? Where, what if those people never called because there was a group that went around and expected trees in the soil and stuff before they all fall and cause less of a disaster? Like for me, someone that has an eye for it, I can drive around the city and I can see trees that are going to come down for sure. Like, I've worked with trees tons of times, but I mean, I see it going through the city tons of times, and I could just see old growth and certain, like, ivy and moss and different things that grow on trees that suck the life out of trees, or even stuff that's decroding, trees that are ready to go. I mean, and some of these powerful storms we got coming, I mean, I've seen disasters, like, just come out of nowhere. You know, 70-mile-per-hour winds are pretty fast to knock over a lot of trees in the city, and it's, you know, people can be in a house, like I said, just a lot of damage, but if someone has an eye for that kind of stuff, you know, going around the city but thank you.
Thanks. Okay. Walsh, go ahead.
My name is Joe Walsh. I represent Individuals for Justice. One of the things I noticed in the presentation was that if I cut some trees on my property and I don't have a permit, and then I get fined for that, then I want to appeal that fine, which is reasonable to me. That cost me $1,300 to go to a hearing officer. Why would you do that? You're saying to the citizens, if we fine you or the Forest Department fine you and you appeal that, we're going to charge you $1,300 to do that. Most courts have fees. You can go to the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals for about $300, and you guys are going to charge $1,300? This has the feeling of big government. You know, I really get upset when conservatives criticize this council because it's the liberals that are big government. Well, this is big government. You know? And I don't think anybody on this council is a liberal or a progressive. One other issue that we need to talk about here. This is the second time I spoke today, and there'll be another item that I pulled off the consent agenda that I will speak. That is my right by the charter. The charter says I can do that. Not you, Mayor, nobody on this council. The charter says it. Hey, you give Mr. Walsh 3 minutes. Last week there was an issue here with Ben. Ben is covered by ADA, the Americans with Disabilities Act. That means, Mayor, you have to have patience with him. That means, Mayor, that you don't embarrass him in front of people. That means, Mayor, you act as a human being. You don't do what you did last week, ever, to a human being, and especially somebody covered by ADA, because the law says you can't do it. You have to have reasonable accommodation for us. And we will insist on it. You owe that man an apology. And I had a judge apologize to me in court because he violated ADA. And you will apologize sooner or later. So you might as well do it today. And don't ever do that again. Thank you.
Charles?
Good morning, Commissioners. For the record, my name is Charles Johnson. And, you know, when all of us speak, sometimes we're more closely adhered to direct topicality on the agenda item, and other times we feel it's important to give you a broader background. And I think our understanding of that changes depending on whether it's this time of day or whether it's 12:34 in the afternoon. But I will speak to this agenda item now in the broader context, because when we talk about monetary aspect of trees and the issues that Ben Pickering raised, they are important, and I hope there's been some conversation between perhaps all of your offices and the city auditor to know if we have that magical legal phrase, act of God, to save us when we can't save our neighbors. Last week, just north of the Morrison Bridge, a tree fell on a cyclist and injured her. And I don't know if she has attorneys or if they're going to think that there was any negligence on the part of the city. But in addition to making sure that our neighbors practice responsible tree management, whether or not a $1,300 appeal fee applies, I hope the city is giving due diligent attention to the risk when areas where the Department of Transportation and the sidewalk and time impact trees and pose both a health hazard to citizens and a legal liability issue. So when we talk about this overall picture of that fact that I believe trees are more important than money, even if they give us paper money. They are connected in our economy, and we need to be mindful of all aspects of tree health, both having great abundant canopies, like we hope Commissioner Fish has in his yard, and an assessment of tree safety along public thoroughfares. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, anyone else? Then Commissioner Fritz, you have some closing comments?
I do, because maybe not all the staff will be able to be here next week when we vote on this. The Lorax is my favorite Dr. Seuss book, and I do have the honor of speaking for the trees, which everyone needs. And I'm very grateful both to Directors Mike Abate and Paul Scarlett, to Mika Keenan and Mike Hayakawa in the Development Services Bureau, and Jen Cairo, Casey Jorquist, Danielle Bohannon, and Angie DeSalvo in Urban Forestry. It's been a challenge to coordinate all of the moving parts of the new tree code, and I'm very happy to see how well it's coming together, and we'll be ready for January 2nd as folks gather for holiday parties, weddings, bat mitzvahs, and other things over December. If you'd like to have a presentation on the tree code, let us know, and we will show up with bells on, or festive garments at least. And I also want to thank Patty Howard and my staff, who's the project coordinator for this between the two bureaus and is doing a great job. So thank you very much, colleagues, for your indulgence. We don't claim to have got absolutely everything right with a new code. That would be astonishing if we did. So we'll be engaging the Oversight Committee and making adjustments as we go. And so folks are welcome to bring things to our attention that we will try our best to address. Thank you.
And
since you've mentioned staff, Amanda, and both the co-location and the street code, the tree code have been such heavy lifts, I want to acknowledge Hannah Kuhn in my office, who has shared your passion and others to get this right and has been working on it for a long time. So congratulations to all.
Thank you all. Good work. These two items are set over for second reading next week.